grace, mercy, and peace be added unto you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us continue our services, and I will read the Holy Word from Acts chapter 2, 6 verses. The words are in Jesus' name. And when the day of the Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, who were out of every nation under heaven. Now when this noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own language. In the beginning, I would like to bring greetings of love and peace from the Christians in Sweden, from the board of the SFC, and all work committees, and all the children of God there. It is joy to be at these Reservi services for the Opisto, the people who live in Sweden. The Opistos are important for them also. With joy we send our youth here to these Christian Opistos, for we understand that Opisto year includes a great blessing, contains a great blessing. Personally, this Raisalamaki Nine of our children have been here, and the tenth is waiting for the start. Before I get into this text, I feel that I am in need to hear the blessing. And I ask, can you, brothers and sisters, can I believe my own sins and doubts forgiven? I want to believe. This text is a text of Pentecost. There was a great number of people gathered. And what had they come to celebrate? There's the day of Sabbat, a celebration of harvest, was a memorial service for the giving of the law on the Mount Zion, Sinai. There were a large number of people, of pilgrims, who had come. How Moses had been on the mountain of Sinai to get the, and when he saw the golden calf, he broke the Ten Commandments. And then again, he went up for 40 days up to the mount, and God wrote the commandments again. This is what they had come to celebrate, that long wilderness journey. Now this day has a new meaning. Our text began. After 50 days had come full, after the 50th day, after the resurrection of Jesus, we are in Bible history at this point, after Good Friday, the the terrible days of Good Friday had been fallen behind, and the message of resurrection had gone around in the midst of the believing children of God. And for 40 days, Jesus revealed himself to his own. Jesus came, met his own. Not all the meetings are recorded. Paul writes to the Corinthians in his letter, Jesus first appeared to Peter and then to the 12. He explains how he met Jesus and 500 children of God. We know not of the other stories, but we know so it is, so it has happened. 10 days before the event, Jesus had taken his own disciples to the Mount of Olives. The disciples did not know what will happen, but they knew that something was going to happen. There, Jesus gave a commandment or a duty for his disciples. Sometimes I have called this Jesus' testament. What were Jesus' final words, his final testament here upon the earth? Something like this: "You shall be my witnesses, beginning with Jerusalem, through Judea, into Samaria, all the corners of the world." I have thought, when the disciples heard this, they were amazed. Should they witness Jesus here in Jerusalem? He had just been nailed to the cross and crucified. Should they go all the way to Judea? Not all the way to Samaria, to the bad areas. They heard. Then they heard that last part, to the corners of the world. I'm sure that their heads went downward. That's impossible. They had forgotten. They didn't understand the previous words that Jesus had said. "You will receive the Holy Ghost, not with your own strength, not with strength and human mind, but with God's power, with the power of the Holy Spirit. This work you shall do." Here the Bible text. They were all together in one accord. Who were there? The disciples were there. The familiar, some a little more rare. There was Peter, whom Jesus called the rock, and the fishermen, who proved to be weak, who denied his master, but received the grace of repentance and to return. The sons of Zebedee, John, the youngest of all, who especially mentioned that Jesus loved, for whom Jesus left, suffering his final moments on the cross of Golgotha. He gave John, "Take care of my mother." We remember this from the Bible. John took care of Jesus' mothers and lived long, supporting Maria in the city of Ephesus. Another, James, son of Zebedee, who was to suffer, to be killed by Herodias. There was the doubting Thomas. We can all be called doubting. I don't think that there's any believing child of God who travels without doubts. This Thomas, who had been able to put his fingers in the wounds in Jesus' hand and sides, and he could see the wounds on his feet, and he witnessed, "My Lord and my God." There was not, Judas was not there, who had been with them all. We remember how, what happened to him. He could have been there. If he would have been asked for grace, if he would have asked forgiveness for the corruption that he had done when he stole the money, when he went to the high priest, what is it to us? Look for your own self. There was no forgiveness in the high priest, no comfort. The sake of Judas was to end his own life. There in the room was also Matthew, who had been selected, and the others, who are a little strange. They were all together, in one accord. That unity of God's people is not based on any forced issues, sanctions. We can disagree on earthly matters. In Dalai Lama, in my hometown, we're expanding our church. In the beginning, we can be of a different opinion. But when we decide together that this is what we will do, we forget that we were of a different mind in the beginning. The unity of faith, it is based on the words of the Holy Spirit. And on these faith issues, we are all same mind. It is safe and secure. If we are anywhere in Finland, or if we go further away, across the ocean in America or Africa, we meet the same familiar service and the same familiar sermon, unity, and doctrine, and above all, and that common brotherly love, where it is fun and good to travel and to visit together. Here on the event of Pentecost, at least 3 miracles occurred. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty winds, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. They were in a room. The sound was heard out. Curious people from outside came closer. And this sound, when the snow fell off our house roof, it broke some windows, and the people inside ran out to see. Maybe it was something like that, the sound. Nevertheless, something happened, we are very humble. The visible form of the Holy Spirit, even before the believers had the Holy Spirit, the disciples were sent out and the spirits were put underneath. There had been people making repentance. Jesus reminded is that their name is written in the book in heaven. They already had the Holy Spirit, the Old Testament people. The gospel had been preached then, and the Holy Spirit guided the people then. Something special here happened. The visible Holy Spirit in there appeared unto them, cloven tongues like a fire, and sat upon each of them. In any case, the following of the Holy Spirit, they got a new strength and encouragement. This was a turning point in the spreading of God's word. And if we have time, we will return to this. This secret of the Holy Spirit is great, as I already said. We can only see so little or explain so little from the Bibles, from the books of the Bible. Only one part, one place, that there was the Holy Spirit. There was a lot of faith, many religions. Many worshipped God. In the flock of the children of God, the followers of Jesus Christ, there was the Holy Spirit. It was tried to be bought with money. Simon tried to give money to Simon and Peter to buy this power of the Spirit. It could not be bought with money, but the Holy Spirit is received through a different way, only by repentance into become a child of God. If you haven't been a child of God from youth time, you can own this, old or young, a child, a woman or a man. I'd like to tell of this one story, a long old story from confirmation camp in Raudi Osari, on the floor of the service building there. We, in 1973, we slept on the floor on mattresses for 2 weeks somewhere else. The camp director kept us in line, and the nights were peaceful. But not on one night. There was one night when the camp director, again and again, came in to say to be quiet. And again, the same way. He started to listen why they wouldn't be quiet. Then he let it be. The young brothers, on a preaching trip, were waking up unbelieving people at that camp and told them, now is a good chance to believe your sins forgiven and to become a child of God. 7 confirmation students, kids, repented on that evening or that night from the power of the Holy Spirit. The young preached the gospel. The power of the gospel is incredible. there was a change of mind, a new believer. The followers of Jesus Christ, their new life began. The sermon of the Holy Spirit is familiar. In my work, I have heard many sermons that are held outside of God's kingdom. Interesting sermons who have been taught, but something is missing. There is not that familiar comfort of the gospel and the voice of the shepherd that would be comforting the listeners. Then, when I have been listening to the regular service of the children of God through the brothers, there has always been a comforting feeling to be hearing the word. The voice of the Good Shepherd has been heard. The voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living in my heart. We are the children of the same Spirit. And under this sermon, it is good to be here. That Holy Spirit, through the entire kingdom of God, it guides us, it stages and phases. It is comforting and secure to live in God's kingdom when we don't have to think how can we survive, but when we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the kingdom. No one will take us away from this everlasting kingdom, for it travels guided with the Holy Spirit. And we will be taken into heaven's glory after the generations. And there was also the miracle of the language, as was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It is comforting, secure, to hear the Word of God. It is good that we understand. In Sweden, we have 2 sermons in 2 languages. We understand better in one language or the other. Sometimes we have been to Africa. I spoke in English, and it was translated into French and translated into local language. It was important that everyone understood what was taught and spoken. So it is important, but above all, that we open our hearts and ears to hear the word, that we come to services. As I heard the service just previously, that I should go to services even though my best friend isn't going. We need to, young and old, we need to hear the word of the gospel to strengthen our faith at services. We know at this moment you are listening to services at the camper in this area in tents, but also in homes, in many homes. The radio is on, and we are listening to this service. Maybe there is someone listening, such person for whom this service is strange or new. You have no idea of God's kingdom, but you feel that you have no peace with God. The sermon of the kingdom of God is always inviting. There in your home, you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You can hear this service farther away. a few years ago. You came to services. You lived of the gospel. But the enemy of the soul has deceived. And you, from old memory, maybe from a yearning, you turn the radio on to hear the Obispo services. You are doing other things, but you want to listen to what is happening. Put your hand to your heart and ask, is there safety and security in the world? Can you come back today? The prodigal son and daughter. Maybe you are far away. Maybe in a different country. You can believe. You can believe your sins forgiven. Unbelief forgiven. Everything forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. An old, elderly mother, father, in the midst, you may ask. And you do have the right to believe your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, this gospel encourage this listener, wherever you may be. The true Pentecost happened under the sermon of Peter. We remember how a lot of people had come together. Peter had received the Holy Spirit, a new encouragement. He proclaimed the gospel of the resurrected, crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ. Imagine, there listening, there may have been, there in Jerusalem, after 50 days, 52, 3 days, people had crawled out, crucify him, crucify him. There could have been the same people. They could have been listening and they could have felt in their heart, dear brothers, what must we do that we could be saved or to gain salvation? It was good for the young men to say, believe the gospel, repent. And if they hadn't been baptized, to be baptized. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. It is such an amazing thing. You don't have to learn or prepare or practice. Go to school. Can I be a pure child of God? But as Peter said, when you have received the grace of repentance and believe the gospel, you receive the Holy Spirit. It is not a little thing, but it is much. Then a person who has received the gift of the Holy Spirit, he has full authority to preach this gospel for anyone who wants to receive it. We want to live of this gospel and of its sermon, but we know how dry we are listening to the Word of God there in our daily work. What part of the Bible? I would like to relate it again. During the time of captivity in Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar had captured and broken the walls of Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, and then the guards, living fire had been, the fire had been burning for a long time. Nebuchadnezzar will destroy the temple and attack. The fire hid the fire, eternal fire, into the desert. 70 years later, Yadujiadean people had been set free. Time to build a new temple. It was a great celebration. They wept of joy. The new temple was built. We always had the living fire. Where is the living fire? They remembered that it was hidden in the desert, that the fire bearers had hidden. Where any of them, any living, could they tell? They asked the other people. There were none. Everyone had died in the captivity, but their children were alive, and the children knew. Our father had told us where the living fire had been buried. Nehemiah took the children of the fire bearers. They took the shovels and buckets, and they went into the desert far away, where the children went to find the fire. They came to the place. They marked the place where the place is. Let us dig there, even though it was not visible, only sand. And so they dug. What did they find? They did not find a living fire. They only found dirty water. Nehemiah said, let us bring this dirty water back into the bucket. In the evening, they prepared an altar. They spilt that dirty water upon the altar. The Bible tells us in the book of Maccabees, when the first rays of sunshine shone upon the altar, it exploded in fire. In the midst of that dirty water, there was living fire. And when the sun shone, the fire burned. Is this the liking of the believing heart? Sometimes our hearts can be very dry, and that the sun has been hot, and doubts and dryness. Can it be so sometime that the sermon can come into the driest parts of the hearts and moisten the dry heart, and you feel good hearing the gospel, carrying the name of the child of God, even today at this moment, dear travel service guest? You can believe your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Jesus' name and blood, your sins are forgiven. This is a precious gospel. It will carry with the Holy Spirit into heaven's glory. In Jesus' name, amen.